Welcome to Vertical Life Church. How are we doing today? I want to say welcome to all of you. I see some new faces today. We want to say welcome. We have a philosophy here at Vertical Life Church. We believe everyone matters to God. Everyone, which means you matter. Your story matters. Things that you've encountered in your life, that matters to God. So much so that he foresaw those things that you've been dealing with, and he gave his life for you on the cross so that through him, through faith, you could have a changed life, so that he could do something amazing in your life. And so we're thankful that you're here and to spend some time with us, and we hope that your time with us is an encouragement to you. We began a journey over the last couple of weeks in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. The verses will be on the screen. But Matthew chapter 4 is going to be our main text, and we're going to see a lot of other scriptures today as well. But we're going to begin our reading in Matthew 4 in verse 1. And the word of the Lord records that then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Last week, we looked at Jesus' baptism. He was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came down. God said, well done. You know, this is my son who makes me, gives me great joy. And John the Baptist got to see the fullness of the Trinity in one moment there in the baptism of Jesus Christ. And immediately after his baptism, this is the event that takes place in the life of Christ, our Savior. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he'll order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you don't even hurt your foot on a stone. And Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Notice how Satan begins to use the word of God against Christ. Verse 7 says, Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. The next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures. God, the scriptures reveal you to us. The scriptures talk of our Savior Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and the way to have true life through faith in him. God, we thank you for this story as we're reading it. God, we ask now that our ears would be open and our hearts would be open to hear from you. God, I pray that right now that I would be removed from this place. God, I have nothing to give. I am trusting in you, and I'm asking, God, that you would speak through your word today and through what you've prepared in my heart, and I ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is one common thing that unites every one of us here today. It's that we are surrounded by temptation at every turn. Every turn, everywhere you look. Once you get through one temptation, guess what? Here comes another one. Here comes another one. You only need to blink before the next temptation is around the corner. Temptation is the doorway to committing sin. Temptation is the doorway. But not every temptation is designed to get you to do something. That's often what we think about when we think about temptation, like being tempted to lie or tempted to cheat or steal or lust and the like. But temptation can also be geared to keep you from doing things that you should do, like forgiving someone when they wrong you, or making things right after a fight in your marriage, or keeping you from trusting God enough to the point that you begin to worry, or keep you from having faith enough that keeps you from living in fear, or to keep you from sacrificing to serve someone so you don't have to be inconvenienced. Temptation doesn't just tempt you to do something. It can also tempt you to keep you from doing something. It creates a moment of hesitation in our lives. Hesitation that gives your sin nature an opportunity to rise up and reveal itself, to lead you away from God with your decisions. In James chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle James says, "Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it." That's a powerful verse. So whatever you know to do, if you don't do it, then that is what sin is. So when your actions go against the will of God, either in what you do or what you neglect to do, that's when sin occurs. Temptation comes in many forms, but temptation is not the sin. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm tempted, I automatically feel guilty. Even if I didn't actually follow through with the temptation, I still feel guilty that temptation is there. But we need to understand temptation is not the sin. It's the action that accompanies the temptation that can be sin, if the action isn't in line with the will of God. Temptation is also a weapon that our enemy uses that's geared to exploit the sinful nature of our wicked hearts. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul to the church of Galatia says this. He says, "The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Now, you guys know whenever the media goes to interview Christians, and you watch those interviews, they're kind of silly and embarrassing at the same time. You know, the media is actually correct. Christians are a little crazy. We're a little cray-cray. Every Christian is a little schizophrenic, because at the very same time, at every moment, we have two voices in our head. We have our sin nature, and we have the Holy Spirit. Right? So when you come to Christ, when you say, "You know what, I'm going to believe in Jesus, I'm going to trust in him, I'm going to become a Christ follower," you actually commit to being a schizo for Jesus, because now you have this inner battle constantly at war inside of you. But even though we have this new nature with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, there is still the presence of evil in our hearts waiting to reveal itself. This is the sin nature. It's waiting for a chance. It's wanting to rebel against God and indulge in sin. This is a result of the fall of man that happened in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. Because our hearts now, because of that first sin, our hearts are desperately wicked, the scripture tells us. In James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, it says here, "And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. When sin is allowed to grow, it brings or gives birth to death." What James is telling us here is that temptation isn't a result of outside forces, really. It's not a result of outside forces. Temptation is just our sinful nature bringing to light what is already in our wicked hearts. That's what temptation is. And so because that's a reality for each and every one of us, Satan joins in that sin party. And he uses temptation against us by creating options. Right? He doesn't just want us to have the option to honor God with our life, so he creates other options. He creates options, and what these options do is they expose the sinful desires that are already there by creating an environment conducive for temptation, conducive for rebellion against God. He's like a master fisherman. You got any fishermen in here? I would like to say I'm a fisherman, but really I like to watch the people who fish, because I just sit there with a pole. I don't catch anything. I tangle the line a few times, and so that's the extent of what I do. But Satan is like a master fisherman baiting a hook. If you think about it like this, the fish in the water is already hungry. It just might not know it. And so what the fisherman does is it tries different baits to wait and see if the fish takes notice. And guess what? You're the fish. You are the fish. And so what he does is he throws these baits out. If you don't pay any attention to the bait, what's he do? He changes the lure. He changes his method. And he waits to see if you become intrigued with the bait, if you're going to flirt with it a little bit, if you're going to get close and pay attention to it, because that is the bait he knows will make you realize you're actually hungry and want a snack. And that's how Satan leads us into sin. It's like fish to a worm on a hook. And then once we take that bite, guess what? We're a goner. He reels us in. And Satan doesn't just reel you in to throw you back. He's not a catch and release fisherman. His desire is to catch you and kill you. His desire is to devour you, to ruin your life. Here in Matthew chapter 4, we see a moment in the life of our Savior where Jesus is being tempted. And the first thing I notice here, right from the get-go in Matthew chapter 4, I see God is the one who leads Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted. That's what the scripture says. Now, we just read in the book of James that God can't do evil. He's not tempted to do evil. He doesn't lead people to sin. And so because we know he knows everything, what we're seeing here isn't God tempting Jesus with sin. What we're seeing is God using temptation he already knew was coming to test his faith. And this is what God does in our lives. He allows temptation to come in that he already knows is going to be there to test our faith, to ultimately grow our faith. And so Jesus was being tested by the Father, but tempted by Satan. We need to understand that. And I notice that Satan doesn't just show up just out of nowhere. He waits for Jesus to have been fasting for an extended period of time. By the end of Jesus' 40-day fast, not only would he be very hungry, as the scripture says, but if you think biologically, his body would have begun to eat itself. It would have begun to feed on itself, and so he would have been mentally fatigued and also physically exhausted. He would have been just no good physically. Mentally. And so Satan shows up when Jesus is at his weakest. And this is what he does in our lives. He shows up when we're at our weakest because it's harder to resist temptation when you have little strength. And not just in physical weakness, but in spiritual weakness. We are all more likely to sin through anger, through ungodly sexual desire when we're caught off guard, because we've not been growing closer to Jesus and living according to his word. And I believe Satan is allowed to come and tempt us in those moments of weakness, because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he reveals to us that God's power works best in weakness. God's power works best, or it reveals itself most powerfully when we're in our weakest moment. And so temptation can come so that even when we're tempted, God's power can be revealed in our lives. And his power is revealed through resistance, through when we overcome temptation, when we don't give in, his power is revealed. But his power is also revealed through repentance. His power is shown when you beat sin, when you beat temptation, but it's also shown through the process of restoration and how God can take a broken life and make it all new over again. He can restore what's been broken. And sometimes, to get to our fullest potential, to get to the great purpose God has planned for our lives, sometimes God has to break you down before he can build you back up to fulfill the purpose that he's planned for your life. And so when Satan showed up here in this time where Christ was at his weakest, he goes to work doing the very same thing he does in our lives. He provides Jesus with some options. Options to do something other than the will of God. And in each temptation he gives Jesus, he focuses on one of three areas. And the Apostle John in 1 John 2:16 reveals kind of the three main categories for temptation. He says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from the world." Satan is called the god of this world. And so here in this passage of scripture, the world is referencing the program or plan of the enemy and his devices in the world. Another translation on this verse says that the world offers us the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Temptation, or the lure of Satan, can usually be boiled down to these three areas. But the reality is that Satan didn't care. He didn't care at all if Jesus made bread from the stones. He didn't care if Jesus actually would have jumped off to see the angels catch him. He didn't care, really, if Jesus bowed down to worship him. Satan had his sights set even higher than that. There is a sinister mentality or motive behind each and every temptation. What Satan was trying to do with one simple thing, and that was exploit weakness in our Savior, to get Jesus to sin. Because once Jesus sinned, just like Adam and Eve, Satan would then have power over God, which was his ultimate goal. You read in the Old Testament and you see the mentality of Satan before his fall. He says that he wanted to ascend his throne even afar above God's. He wanted to elevate himself over and above the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if Jesus at that moment had bowed down, it wouldn't have made Satan actually greater than God. He still would have been greater. No, Satan needed something more. He needed power and control over God. And the particular sin that he was trying to expose in the heart of Jesus in these three different temptations was pride. Pride. Pride is the source of all sin. It's the sin that made Satan fall. And if Satan could expose pride in Jesus, he could prove that God was no better than him. But the joke was on Satan. The joke was on Satan because unlike us, frail human beings, born with this sin nature that's out of our control, Jesus was not born from man. He had no earthly father. He did not receive the sinful nature passed down from Adam. He was born of God, God made in the flesh, and there was no evil to be found in his heart. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "This high priest of ours," talking about Christ, "he understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Jesus lived the same human life we do, but yet he overcame each and every temptation. In his flesh, Jesus could experience the tension of temptation, but through the power of the Spirit, he remained pure and holy. And though we have sin, and we have no hope to be right with God on our own, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul reveals to us that God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. What we could not or cannot overcome, Jesus overcame. And because he overcame all temptation, it qualified him to be the sacrifice for our sins. And when he died, his blood put the end to the power of the devil once and for all. And though we are surrounded and inundated with temptation on a daily basis, because of the work of Christ on the cross, Paul reveals in Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." Because of the work of Christ on the cross, though we were slaves to sin, because of the cross and the resurrection of Christ, we have no reason to fear temptation because Jesus has set us free from temptation. We will overcome it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And temptation comes because of our sinful nature, and God gave us his Holy Spirit to put our sinful nature to death if we follow him. Paul reveals to the church of Galatia in Galatians 5:16, he says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The Holy Spirit's given to us for power over our sinful nature. And Jesus followed the Spirit, even into the wilderness, where he was made to be weak, but because he never wavered, he was able to overcome the temptation. And I can see four main things in this story as we read the temptation of Christ left for us as an example of how we can overcome temptation as we follow the Spirit in our lives. The first, very first thing I see is that Jesus knew the Word. He knew the Word. Every time Satan offered an option or a temptation, Jesus quoted from the Bible. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3, reveals kind of the heart of Christ. He says, "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their heart. They do not compromise with evil, and they only walk in his paths." And verse 11 in that same passage says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Every time Jesus was tempted, he thought of the Word because he knew the Word. How can you know what God's will is if you don't know his Word? How can you know what his will is for your life if you don't know the Scriptures? How can you discern between sin and temptation, between righteousness and unrighteousness, if you don't know what God thinks about the subjects or the temptations we face? And not just what the word says, but what it means. Jesus knew more than what the words were written in the heart of God. Just memorizing a verse is not going to cut it. He knew why the words were written. He knew the heart behind the verse. He knew what God intended, because God's word is alive. Jesus knew that his word is alive. It says this, the word of God is spiritually breathed out by God. It's a living thing. God speaks and reveals his heart when you study and meditate on his word. And no matter what temptation you face in your life, when you get into his word and you study the scriptures, you will see that the scripture speaks to every situation we face. It speaks encouragement to the discouraged, faith to the faithless, power to the powerless, freedom to the enslaved, hope to the hopeless, love to the unloved, favor to the castaway, strength to the weak, death to sin, and defeat to the enemy. God's word speaks to every situation. And his word has been left here for us, not to collect dust on a mantle or to be used for quaint bedtime stories, but to be the very foundation for our lives. And if we are going to overcome temptation, the temptations we face, we need to saturate our hearts and our minds with the word of God. Number two, Jesus agreed with the word. Satan is the god of this world. He's the power behind the temptations we face. And there are things in this life and in our culture that come in disagreement with God. Things like issues of marriage, abortion, sexuality, dating, finances, and the like. Many, many things that this culture promotes that the Bible speaks against. And Jesus didn't just memorize the verses. He didn't just memorize the scripture. He uncompromisingly lived it. What God said was sin, Jesus said was sin. What God said to avoid, Jesus said to avoid. What God said to do, Jesus said to do. James, in James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. It's not enough to know what it says, why it says it. You have to agree with it in how you think and in how you live. Number three, Jesus also spoke the word. He spoke the word. See, temptation is a battle that takes place in your mind. That's where the battle of temptation takes place. It's not externally, it's in the mind. We decide in our minds that we're going to sin before we sin. That's where the battle happens. And these three temptations Jesus endured were battles, they were attacks on his mind. And even though these battles happened internally, Jesus fights externally. The enemy attacks his mind, and Jesus speaks to the enemy. He quotes the Bible with boldness, claiming the authority of Scripture to settle the argument. Something happens to our faith, church, whenever we're facing struggles and trials in our lives, and we utter the words of God. It creates a boldness. It creates a strengthening to our faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul tells the church of Ephesus, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is our weapon of warfare in this life against sin and temptation. So when we come up to the trials and tribulations we face, the temptations in this life, like Jesus, we need to speak his words into the air. That's why they think we're crazy. You know, you're like walking by the magazine aisle and you're like, oh, I shouldn't look at that. Oh, it's a sin to lust. Whatever comes to your mind, the Holy Spirit leads to your mind. In Psalm 119, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verses like in Job where it says, I've created or I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a woman lustfully. These verses aren't just great things to think about. They are tools and weapons to fight our temptation. These are things we need to speak into the air and empower our faith. Jesus spoke the scripture and declared it with all boldness. Number four, Jesus worshiped the author of the word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus' response to Satan's last temptation. He says, get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and only serve him. Temptation, ultimately, is a matter of who you're going to worship. Satan's goal is to have power over you so he can rule over you, so he can be your Lord, he can be your master. The core concept of this message today is simply this, that if God isn't the ultimate in your life, You will bow at the altar of your sins. If God isn't the ultimate, if he's not the king or the supreme in your life, you will bow at the altar of your sins. If God isn't king over your sexuality, then Satan will be. If God isn't king over your mind, then Satan will be. If God isn't king over your music, then Satan will be. If God isn't king over your movies or your TV or what you look at on the internet, then Satan will be. If God isn't king over your time, then Satan will be. If God isn't king over your finances, then Satan will be. And over and on and on and on. Temptation happens in the battlefield of the mind, and the fight is over who ultimately you are going to worship. God and Satan are at war over your heart. God wants your heart. He wants to be the king. Because when he's king, he can lead you into blessing. He's got great plans in store for your life. He's got great blessing in store for your life. And we fail to live in those blessings every time we bow at the altar of our sin. And you may feel like God doesn't understand what you're going through. But he does. Because he's been through it. And he overcame it. He knows your heart. He knows your weakness. And so he won't leave you to fight alone. 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul tells the church of Corinth, he says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand, and when you're tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. God has got your back. He not only gives you the spirit to give you the power to overcome your temptation, but he will provide you a way to escape your temptation. And guess what? His escape plan is found in his word, is found in the scriptures, and it's carried out through his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible is our weapon of warfare against temptation. And if we know his word, if we agree with his word, if we speak his word, and we worship the author of his word, we shall overcome temptation just like Jesus did. Our key verse today is James chapter 1, verse 12. And here's what the word of the Lord records. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those that love him. God loves you. He wants good for you. And his desire is not that you would crumble under the weight of temptation, but that you would rise up and overcome it, because great blessing is in store for you who overcome. And a question I have for you today that you need to ask yourself is, what are your temptations? What are they? What are the things that you wrestle with in your life? And then what does that say about the sin that's lurking in your heart? What are your temptations? And what does that say about the sin that is lurking in your heart? And then have you confessed that to God? Have you brought that before the Lord and asked him through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to free you from that sin? Have you searched his word to find out what he has said about that temptation? Have you made a decision to agree with God about that sin or that temptation and then follow God in obedience to his word? Have you declared his truth out loud, boldly, as you wage war against your temptations? If the answer is no, then today is the day you break free. Today is the day that you choose to worship God above all else and begin fighting on his side against temptation. And maybe you're a professional at falling into temptation. You're a professional. Be like, every time I'm tempted, I seem to fall in and I tend to fail that temptation. But guess what? You're in good company. Because there's not a person in this room that's not in the same boat. There was only one person in this life who never sinned, and that was Jesus Christ. And the hope in Jesus is that the more you know him, the more you love him, the more you will trust him and follow him. And the more you worship him in your life, the more you will overcome the temptations you face. And you'll experience a great blessing as God works everything in your life together for your good. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes in this moment. No one looking around, just in the quietness of this moment. As we begin to close tonight, or today, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And today you need to pray and ask him to forgive you and come to live inside of you so you can have the power to overcome the temptations in your life. If that's you here today, in just the quietness of this moment, just pray to God and say, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I trust in Jesus as my Savior. Come live inside of me and make me new. And the moment you place your trust in Christ, His Spirit will come inside your heart and begin to bring life to this new nature that will help you live a life filled with His blessing. If you have trusted in Christ, you don't need to fear temptation. You just need to start to fight it. Because the Spirit in you gives you the power to choose worship, the worship of God over the worship of your sin. You are not obligated to do what your sinful nature wants you to do. But victory doesn't just happen. You have to fight it and keep fighting it until through the power of the Spirit you put your sin to death. But before you can claim victory, we have the promise that if we follow the Spirit, we will overcome our temptations. So for the next few moments, just meditate on what the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now. We know that when His Word is declared, that God goes to work in the hearts and minds of those who hear it. And so whatever God is speaking to your heart now, just meditate on that. And make a commitment today to begin to fight your temptations until they are conquered. And in just a moment, we're going to pass the offering buckets. If you would like us to pray with you as you begin this spiritual journey, just mark on your connection card or right there in the comments that you're going to begin fighting these temptations and ask for us to pray for you. And we will pray with you that God will lead you to victory in what you struggle with in your life. For the next few moments, in the quietness of this time, I'm just going to ask you to go to God and respond in your heart through prayer and what He's doing in your life. And then we're going to sing a song of victory, praising God for what's taking place in the hearts and minds of those that are here. Let's pray.